Nailer Beauty School was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media, and at very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Kia ora, hi everyone. It's Pat here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I'm joined by Mal.
Hi guys, Mel here from Jungle Nails, joining in today with the podcast.
Awesome. And we also have
Hi, this is Leonie, Nail Alchemy by Leonie. First timer online.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about your location, specifically home salons. And do the two of you want to maybe share your affiliate codes?
Yeah, so mine is just Jungle Nails, and that'll get you the 10% off any course enrollments.
Absolutely, and I'm just Leonie. That's my affiliate code, Leonie.
Amazing. If anyone wants my affiliate code, it's Patsitive because my name's Pat. Pat, and I'm Pat positive. Patsitive, get it? Anyway. So before we get stuck into the new topic, which is again your location, home salons, let's revisit last week's lesson. Hey Mel, do you want to talk about what we talked about last week?
Okay, so the last podcast, I wasn't actually on that one, but I know they talked about affiliates, word of mouth marketing, referrals, and stuff like that, like different options for you, how they'll work for you.
Awesome. Do we have any experience with, I know because none of us were on that episode, but Leonie, do you have anything you want to share about word of mouth or anything?
Just that. Probably that's the bulk of my business. I don't do a lot of online advertising and stuff, and that, we'll probably get into that too with the whole location thing. But word of mouth is me. Like I really don't take any randoms. So anyone that comes to me is because somebody has recommended me or said, come and check out Leonie.
Oh, I feel like there are lots of stories there for today's episode. So can't wait to dive into that. I think for me, I mostly do the referral affiliate thing from Monaco. Like when people sign up for courses and I get a kickback. That's cool. But in terms of salon stuff, word of mouth, yeah, I guess word of mouth works. But mostly people just seem to know me and then they try and message to get slots, and then I go, no, sorry, I'm not free, which is so bad. I gotta work on that. But anyway, we will move on from last week's topic. On from affiliate marketing or referrals and word of mouth, we are now going to talk about home salons and everything about location. Okay, so as with all jobs, working from home comes with bright sides and challenges. So we've got some pros and cons. And Leonie and Mel, you're free to interrupt me at any point to, say your own stories. So some of the pros, you don't have a commute, you don't have a boss, you're closer to your family and you're able to spend more time with them. You have lower overheads because, these overheads will be spread across f fewer possible clients due to, what does that mean?
The overheads is like rent and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, Penny wrote here, you will have lower overheads, but they will be spread across fewer possible clients due to less room and no street appeal. It doesn't mean you should have lower prices.
Yeah, so you'll have lower overheads, but you'll probably also have less client travel.
Yeah, like no
Like
foot
less
traffic
people.
through town or, yeah.
Oh, okay. That sounds like part of the con part or just like something to think about, right? Okay, cool. You'll have lower overheads because you don't have to pay for commercial rent. You don't have to pay for separate petrol or separate power, that sort of thing. But you do have to remember that you might have fewer clients because you might not have the space for walk-ins and people might not notice your salon from outside. So remember, don't have lower prices just because of that. Okay? Also, another pro, Home-based salons are welcoming and relaxed. The point of difference, this is a major point of difference, and it can have an impact on clients that you may not even have considered. Like a new mother might just be grateful for the ability to breastfeed mid-pedicure without someone being there watching and just feeling like really like weird about it. Also, because it's at your house, your service can be more personalized and clients will be more relaxed as a result. They can feel free to let their hair down and be themselves. Do either of you have anything you want to say in terms of the pros? Is there anything we missed or you think is a pro you really want to talk about?
I think they got it for me, but like you said, some of it can also be cons. Like the pro is, yes, you're at home, but then the con is I'm constantly like, oh, I'll just run inside and put the washing on, or oh, I'd better hang out the washing. Or it's also like you never really leave like the home life.
Okay. So it's like you're at work, but also you're at home doing things you need to do at home. So you're always on.
Yeah, I think that's a really double-edged sword because that's one of the things I really enjoy about being at home is I can do those things like between clients or whatever, you can just run out, do the washing, do dishes, whatever it is, some small task. But then at the same time, if you're waiting for a client, you tend to be less productive because you're making sure your space is ready or you might just be like literally sitting there for that last 5 minutes. It's kind of like a almost like a nervous anticipation without the nervous.
And you go, oh, I better not go in and do the washing because what if they show up and then I'm not here? And yeah, it's kind of a weird kind of balancing act.
So you're there, but you can't, you feel like you want to go do the thing at home, but also you can't because what if someone shows up?
It's not like when you go to work and then you just switch off, you're at work, and then you get home and you do all your home stuff. You've got to try and like do both. It's weird, but
How
and especially
interesting. If you're on your own, because so I've worked in a salon environment as well. And the good thing with that is like when you're at work, it's just 100% work. You're in the zone. I feel like maybe sometimes you're a little bit faster because you have to be. And oftentimes you've also got other people working with you. So if you do need to just like run off to the toilet or something, there's somebody else to receive your client. It's not like you're constantly just thinking, oh, if I go to the bathroom now, that's when this person's going to turn up.
Especially if they're new bay and then they're just like lingering, they don't really know where to go, or yeah.
Okay, hang on. We were talking about pros. Tell me a pro.
Well,
You're not going
that's a
out.
pro. There's a pro for both. So a pro for being at home and or a pro for working in a salon is, maybe you don't like necessarily working with other people, but then having other people there sometimes can be beneficial too.
And it is a pro being at home and being able to like pop in and put your washing on and stuff like that.
Totally.
It
I think
does
that
make the sort of, yeah.
Cool. I think that makes sense. I mean, I think it's really telling that even though the two of you were like, oh, yeah, this doesn't work and I don't like that, both of you did pick home-based salons. So even though you're like whining about it, not whining, you know what I mean? Even though you're like saying it sucks, you're also like, of all the options, this is the one I picked. So you must like
It's definitely
it.
more of a pro than a con.
Amazing. We love that. Okay. So we've got into the pros and cons a bit. Well, mostly the pros and some of the cons. I'm going to read through the cons that we've got listed here. Okay, so in some parts of the country, we are expected to have a health license. So it can be harder to get a health license if you are a home-based salon. But a very common workaround is you can have a cabin set up in your garden, and that's solely for the purpose of your business. Also, another con, it can be harder to avoid the sounds and smells of your home. So clients are paying to get away from their home. They may not want to hear kids or smell your dinner. Unless maybe it's extra delicious. I don't
I would want to
know.
smell someone's dinner.
I'll get hungry. I'll be like, can you have me over for dinner as well? Like, you having curry or something?
I guess that is definitely part of being home based is that you are inviting people to your space. So there has to be a little bit of understanding, like, I've got three teenagers in the house and animals, and there's any number of things happening at any time. So people kind of have to be happy with that environment to be a client.
That totally makes sense. And also, when you think about it, some people are absolute like animal lovers. Like, I know for me, if I go to someone's house and it specifically says they have a salon dog, I'll be like, heck yeah, show me the dog. Let me meet the dog. We have like salon rabbits at the space that Katie, well, it's Katie's house, but I also am based there. So it's kind of like it's a home-based salon for her, but for me, I go there. So we have salon ferrets, salon rabbits, and sometimes we'll be like, do you want to see the animals? Like if we feel that they may like it. So it's a, but obviously they're not in the salon because that would be a bit dodge if there's like rabbit poop everywhere. But you know what I mean.
My dog is definitely in the salon, and he also helps to alert me when people turn up if I haven't noticed. He's my little doorbell.
That's so good.
Yeah,
But
and
it's
I think it
adorable.
just comes down to like expectations. Like I have in my like form that people fill out, like I am a mum, like mum life may call for me while you're here. Like, are you okay that with this? You know, like
Yeah, definitely.
people. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think communication is key, right, for
Yeah.
anything. Yeah,
Yeah,
that
and if
makes
they
sense.
don't like it, they won't come. Like, can't avoid it
Totally.
if you're home selling. But
Yeah, so I guess as long as you're upfront, then people know what they're getting into and then they can decide for themselves. Makes
Yeah,
sense. On that
energy.
note, so another con that's kind of related is some clients think that they can automatically bring their kids with them because it's home-based. But also, this isn't always appropriate. So if you're going to allow kids in your salon, you do have an extra set of responsibilities to protect them from chemical, biological, physical hazards. But no matter your child policy, you just need to make it clear to all clients what the expectations are. Do either of you let kids into your home salon?
I do. It's usually with a discussion or with older kids. Like I keep a box of Lego in my salon, which is just really kind of left over from my own kids, generally speaking, I don't have little kids. So, kids that are capable of independent play and stuff, I'm happy with. Part of that is probably because my own kids are here. And generally, I know my clients and I know their kids. So they oftentimes will go off with my kids and then they'll be playing outside or whatever, and we can just get on with it. I really only had one disaster when, and it was with my girlfriend, and it was in the holidays. And so she brought her three kids and I had my three kids, and that was absolutely fine. But the kids seem to be at that stage more drawn to being in the salon rather than being mucking around outside doing their own stuff. And so the service time kind of stretched out. There was a lot of interruptions, there was a lot of distraction. And before I knew it, my next client was coming and we hadn't finished. So I definitely learned from that experience that if you are going to have kids, you need to have probably more control going on, and just more awareness of what they're up to.
Yeah, agree. So I don't really allow kids either, but just like Leonie, eventually or naturally, I'll sort of become friends with those people and I know their kids and they know my kids and I'm happy for them to just do their own thing. But generally, if it's like a client that I don't really know and I don't know their kids, then I stick to the no kid policy. And because I've got dogs here, I don't know what their kids are like with dogs and I don't want to just put either my dogs or their kids in the situation where they do something to my dogs and I'm not there, or it's just a safety thing too, you know, like what are they going to get up to while me and the parent are not supervising or watching, or and yeah, it's just distracting. I can't focus, and so yeah, I don't generally have
Okay.
kids.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it just comes down to that communication and expectations thing, right? And then we set our own boundaries. So I think that makes sense. Okay. On to the last couple of cons, two to three cons. Some clients feel so relaxed that they forget to bring their wallet, which is crazy. So when you work at home, you do have to learn to set boundaries and be assertive if someone crosses the line. Hashtag get that money. Sometimes it can be harder to keep professional. Again, you are at home, so if you didn't sleep well or it's cold, sometimes you want to keep your hoodie and slippers on, but when the clock strikes start time, you should be dressed and presented and acting as if you were in a salon. So maybe that means no jandals. Keep your toes covered. People are weird about toes. And also, because you're at home, clients then assume you're available 24/7. People might call you on your day off, and it can be tempting to work longer and later hours than you're used to. To survive at home, you have to learn how to be firm yet polite and let clients know their boundaries. And that's exactly what we've been talking about this whole time. So when a client asks you to squeeze her in, you might say something like, "I'm sorry, I don't have any appointments available at that time. How about such and such a time?" So it might be you'll say 9 a.m. the next day, or you might say something like, "I can try and squeeze you in at 3 p.m. on Thursday because you saw that you have a space." And you need to make sure you hold firm. Clients might go running to other salons in desperation, but they will always come back, usually complaining about the rushed service they received at the other shop.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I've got two ladies that I'm working with at the moment who had to go to other salons to have removals and things, and they just did so much damage. We're now doing like IBX rehab on one, and it's just crazy. So they do come back, and but I think for anybody, you're always maybe a little bit worried that your client won't come to you, but you have to remember that that is a personal choice. That they're not truly your client, as in you don't own them. They have free will and choice to go anywhere. And sometimes, if that client chooses to move on to a different technician or a different salon, it's not a bad thing. Like I always, if someone were to move on from me, there can be so many reasons behind that. Maybe they're not comfortable with my environment. It could be a financial thing. It could be a travel thing. They could just really vibe with somebody else, or maybe their girlfriend's got into nails or something like that. So I never feel like you should lament losing a client because trying to hold on to somebody under the wrong circumstances can be detrimental for you and them. Like,
Totally.
if my person doesn't want to be here vibing with me, why would I want to keep them here? So just embrace that fluidity, and that sometimes people will migrate away and they won't always come back.
Such a good point, Leonie.
It's the whole revolving door thing, eh? Like one goes out, another one's going to come in. Like, it's okay. It's not, you're not horrible. You're not, there's many reasons. And you think of yourself, like, if you've changed hairdressers or whatever, it's never, well, it's not usually like they're horrible. I hate them. It's usually like, oh, this one's closer, or I really like this girl, or whatever. Like, there's multiple reasons. So.
And I think location has a lot to do with it, like and being home based as well. Maybe we do attract a particular clientele over a salon. Maybe we have more stay-at-home mums, or maybe we have more retired people, or where there could be more working people that are roving around a more salon base or in town kind of services, because that's where they are.
Well, yeah, they work across from a salon, or they can pop in their lunch break. Or availability is definitely a big thing, like you said, Pat. People think because you work from home that you're available all the time. I've definitely had people like message me and say, "Oh, can I come get my nails done?" And I'll go, "No, like I'm finished for the day." And they'll go, "Oh, but your car's there." Like,
Yeah, stalker much.
I know, but so are my three kids and my dinner's cooking. Like,
Yeah.
no.
I think important to keep those boundaries too. Like, I know that one of the big reasons that I love working from home is that I do have complete flexibility. So if I've got things going on with my kids, I don't take bookings, vice versa. All of my clients are very understanding because a lot of them are mums, and so there can be some fluidity there if something crops up. Taking appointments and things, I at the start, I think I was probably a little bit too flexible because you do panic and you think, where is my client base coming from? And you have to constantly remind yourself, I'm doing this because it works for me. This is
Yeah,
the
for
hours
your
that work
kids
for
or
me.
whatever the
Yep,
reason. Yeah.
absolutely. And I do have just a very few people that I take outside of that, and that's absolutely comfortable for me. And like this past week, because of school holidays and some people had exceptional circumstances, I actually worked a full day from home on the Sunday, which I've never done before. But that's the beauty, right? I'm at home, I can set my limits. It worked for me because we were going to be away with the kids. I had some people that needed to come in that week. So I'm, hey, look, let's just do it, you know? And that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's at your discretion, eh? That's definitely one of the pros, that if you didn't want to work that day, you didn't have to, like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think what was the other one? Like the location, being at home. I think one of the cons is I don't share a lot of like my really personal, like my kids and stuff. I don't put them on my social media because it's very easy for someone to find out where I live. That's a big part I don't like about working from home, is that not everybody's like a nice person, and it's really easy to find out where I actually live. So I don't share my dogs and things like that because, yeah, it's really easy to find out literally where my house is.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit where I struggle with the social media thing, and it sounds probably a little bit counterintuitive where I don't want to advertise myself out there, which it comes back to the word of mouth thing. Like, really, nobody that's been to my house is somebody who is truly unknown to me. So, I don't put out a lot of details on social media. My Google, like online, if you Google me or whatever, the address is sort of pinned to my closest intersection. So, I have no signage on my fence or anything like that. So in some ways, as much as like you're building a business and you want people to come and what have you, because it is your home environment, you're also a little bit guarded about that. And I think that kind of flows into like what you were saying about payments as well. Is that because all of the people that come to me are kind of connected in some way, I touch wood, haven't had any issues with payments. So people will generally just pay me online, and that's fine. And maybe if it's been a couple of days or they might have forgotten, I just flick through a text. And so I haven't had any issues like that. And I feel like that is possibly a pro from the home salon point of view, because if you're in a salon, I think people have like a little bit of disconnect from you. So they don't see you maybe as a person, like personally, if I don't pay, this is going to affect this person. I think in a salon environment, then they can see you more as the business side of it. And there's less empathy for payment or for non-payment because you're an entity rather than a person.
That makes sense, yeah.
I think it's so funny how when we were talking about the pros, the two of you went into the cons, and then after I talked about the
Yeah. Well,
you
I've never worked in a salon. I've only ever been at home, so I don't really have anything to compare it to. I think it's, for me, most of them are pros. It's just the location thing that I don't really love. Obviously, you need clients to know where you live, but then I don't want people to, that I don't want to know where I live. Like, it's a weird,
No,
philosophy
that
kind
makes
of thing, you
sense.
know?
I was originally going to be home-based slash mobile because I have that thing as well. Well, I don't personally care if people know where I live, but my husband does. So it was very difficult to be like telling people, oh, this is the address and you need to come here. Even if I kind of knew them, it still felt kind of odd. But now I'm based at my friend's house in Hamilton. So I'm like, is that okay to share? So it's a bit
Yeah.
weird, but she doesn't seem to mind that much either. And usually, kind of like Leonie, it's mostly people I know or who are somewhat like known to me in some way, shape, or form. So it's like less scary that they know where it is. We did try to pin the location as being somewhere close by that isn't actually the house. And then Google was like, that's not valid. And then they took down our listing. Like, excuse me, Google, we're just trying to protect our privacy. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. It really is. Like, I live in a town where pretty much everybody knows where we live anyway. But it's like, yeah, the whole stranger danger thing. Like, and I think because my kids are young, like, I don't post like photos of them in their school uniform or. I don't really post them at all, and if I do, I like cover their face or it's from behind. Or, yeah, I don't know. I'm just really hyper aware of it. But I wouldn't. Yeah, that would be my biggest con of working from home is, and I know even Penny said she's had people like knocking on her ki like kitchen window, like, hey, you know, like when she's in there cooking dinner, like it's
Yeah,
really,
that would not be cool at all.
yeah, it's hard to just keep the boundaries, but yeah.
Is that part of small town life as well? Like, I can't imagine someone in Auckland knocking on the
Yeah.
kitchen window just because they want an appointment. But
Yeah. And it's kind of
yeah.
that line of like client versus friend. Like
Yeah.
sometimes it can get a bit blurred and it's quite hard to.
Probably the closest I've had to that, so I'm sort of semi-rural. I'm about 10 minutes out of town, I suppose. But the closest thing I've had to that is generally when I have mucked up a booking. So I just put my bookings in my phone calendar. I don't use like a booking system or anything like that. And I think I've had it only twice where maybe the person was booked for 9:30 and I had it for 12:30 or something like that. So I had a girlfriend turn up at one stage and I was in the shower cleaning, so that was a little bit embarrassing. And I had another girlfriend turn up for her appointment, which wasn't in my phone at all, but definitely she had booked it with me, and I was sat there having a glass of wine with my mum. So we sorted out both of those situations, no problem at all. But outside of that, I don't imagine anybody just rocking up to my house and like tapping on the window. But then we are a little bit further out, like Penny. I mean, she's right there. So maybe people would be cheeky enough. They think, oh, I'm getting a coffee across. I can see there's a cell on there. I'll just go and knock on the window. Not really thinking, well, actually, that is somebody's personal space and their house. And you wouldn't do that, you know?
I think that goes back to the pros for you, Leonie. Like you were talking about how, yeah, there were muck-ups, but because you were at home and not having to travel to a salon, you were able to quickly just fix it because it's right there at your house. On the other hand, if they showed up to a salon and let's say you had to travel 30 minutes to get to wherever it is you worked, then all of a sudden, there's no way you would be able to go and do the appointment because they might need to go somewhere, use the
Yeah,
link to get
you would
ready.
lose that
Yeah.
service,
But
definitely.
you were at home, so, and your salon is at home, so you're able to just, yeah, we'll get it done like right now. How good.
So I just chugged my wine and we came into the salon, and the other time I put on some clothes and we came into the salon and it was all good.
Yeah. Also, I think let's do another pro. Like right now, while we're recording this, it's school holidays. So I'm in my area. My kids are in the lounge watching TV. Like I'm working, but they're here with me. I don't have to organize care for them. I don't have to like put them into a program. It costs me money. Like they're just here in the lounge. Like that's a huge pro and one of the main reasons I started this journey. You know, holiday programs, they were costing us $1,000 every school holidays. Like
Wow.
that's more than I was making at my outside of home job. So that's a big pro if you've got young kids that, or even when it's not holidays and one of them's sick, I can be in the cabin and they can be inside just on the couch watching TV and I can pop in and check on them. Like it's definitely a huge pro, that one.
Yeah, and wiggling your life into that, like, so my kids are a little bit older, they're all teenagers. But even yesterday, for example, I had about an hour gap between two clients, and my eldest daughter wanted to go to her girlfriend's place. So I'm like, yep, jump in the car, let's go. Zoomed her over, came back, and you're ready to rock and roll for your next person. So it hasn't interrupted either your home life or your work life. You've still got your clients done, you've still got your kids where they needed to be, and it's all good. If you were away at a in a salon, that would be extremely difficult to do.
Oh, so are you like I had a cabin on my lawn. Do you have that, or are you actually in your house?
So I'm literally inside, and this, so again, pros and cons here. So we have a second lounge, so I'm just set up in the second lounge, which is great. So again, I don't have the additional overheads of paying for a cabin or having an outside of the house salon. The con of that is that people, you know, they have to literally enter the house. So I get quite anxious about making sure that the kitchen is clean and tidy and that the bathroom is clean and tidy and that at any given moment, any or all of my kids could be coming out, making food, being in the shower, you know, so that you're definitely conscious that it is an inside the house service rather than an at home but outside service.
And that was one of the main reasons I think that I decided to get a cabin. So it's outside the home, but obviously on my lawn. And when I started, my kids were quite young. So the house was like chaos all the time, like washing, toys, Lego, blah, blah, blah. And like you said earlier, Pat, people will come to these kind of appointments to usually escape that in their own life,
The challenge.
washing dishes. They want to leave that behind and come to a nice place. So I was like, they don't want to come here and see my pile of washing waiting to be folded and da da da. So that's why I decided to get a cabin and just keep it completely separate. No kids stuff in there, no washing to be folded, no, So yeah, that's another thing I suppose to consider if you would if you have the space in your house, because we literally don't have the space for me to set up inside my house with three kids. So yeah, when I first started, I used to just do it like at the kitchen table, which again I hated because I had to always have my kitchen clean, and it just wasn't relaxing for me or the client because there's kids running around and dishes. And so yeah, that's
Yeah,
another thing to
the
consider if you want
anxiety
inside.
really rocks up when you know that your kitchen's a bomb site and you've got people coming,
And
which
you
is
can get
like
on
that's the
for
reality of life, right? They've probably left their home in exactly the same way and come to your home. So I constantly have people telling me, "Don't worry, don't worry." But I think the thing is, you are still trying to promote a professional space, like you said, Pat. You know, and you dress for it, so. There might be times where I would prefer to be in my slippers or bare feet or whatever, but I am always conscious that I should have my shoes on. So I like to have my shoes on and be ready for my client. So in as much as that it's a home space and they say, "Oh, don't worry, don't worry," you're still trying to have that level of professionalism that, you know, otherwise everyone's going to be turning up in their pajamas and it's all going to turn to shit.
If you're going to lose that sort of business thing, eh?
Yeah. Actually, big pro, and I don't know, is it more a pro for us or a pro for our clients? But being home based in a comfortable home environment, having people that wouldn't usually be able to go to a busy salon or a main street salon or something like that. So people who perhaps aren't very well. People that are struggling with social anxiety, you know, immune compromised people. I've been truly blessed to host a couple of people to my house where they can have one-on-one service. They've been particularly unwell and to the point where, through a pedi, they drop off to sleep in my chair, you know, and to me, that's something really special to be able to provide to those people, and that there's no way that they could ever have that at a commercial salon.
Just a one-on-one, eh? a huge pro, yeah.
These are such
Well,
beautiful
both, I think.
stories. Before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about the One Stroke course. The One Stroke for Beginners with Rebecca Isaac, which includes the kit, is a course for nail techs wanting to add one stroke nail art to their nail services with some quick and easy techniques you can master with just a little practice. Our nail art training is flexible and self-guided with pre-recorded and optional live educator-led components. And this is by award winner and Scratch Stars Hall of Fame member Rebecca Isaac. So exciting. You'll learn how to create amazing designs that look intricate. Rebecca shows you how she builds her paint palette with tips on keeping the paints workable all day and beyond. Each design is explained and shown in real time, showing how to add details and highlights as well. Plus, you'll see how Rebecca uses her secret weapon to create shadows the easy way using her favorite Be Creative product. But anyway, you should totally sign up for this course. It is $189.
Affiliate code Leonie.
Did you want to share your code, Mel, or nah?
Do you want me to do it too? Okay. Yep, my affiliate code gets you 10% off. So it's just Jungle Nails.
Amazing. So people in the comments or watching or listening, you can decide if you're going to buy this course, whose code are you going to use? Dun,
Don't
dun,
forget
dun,
to use
dun.
Kat.
Oh yeah, and
Oh,
I bought one as well.
yeah,
Oh
I'm
yeah,
doing it.
my code's Patsitive, Patsitive. I can spell. Woo. I think going back to the home salon stuff, Leonie, you were talking about people with social anxiety, mental health, and I think you're so right. Like, I've had a client who's come in and she's never been to a salon because her social anxiety is that intense, but because she kind of knew who I was and I was open about things relating to mental health, she felt safe to come in and actually even just ask. And then before she came over, I was able to talk to her about, what would be helpful for her. Did she want me to walk through everything I was doing, or would she prefer it was more silent? Did she want to have some fidget so that she had something to, just help ground her and keep her calm and that sort of thing? And I think that's one of the really good things about it being home-based, or even if it's like just within your control. Because if you work for someone, you may not have the chance to really personalize the service according to your clients. But if it's at your home or you have control over the space, then you can be like, well, for this client, she really needs low lighting, so we're going to change the lighting around. Or this client really needs it to be extra warm because she gets cold easily, then you can turn up the heat. But if you were in a commercial salon and you were working for someone, you might not be able to do that because there might be other people, or you might not be allowed to do that. So yeah, that's another con, not a con, that's another pro for having a home-based salon and or working for yourself.
Yeah, I think pro within that is service times. In a commercial salon, your service times, I feel in my experience, is that they're a lot faster. So you don't necessarily get to build that intimate relationship the same way, or to work with the allowances that people might need to make them feel comfortable within that. So if you've got a person that's coming that's anxious or has special needs or requirements or even disabilities, you can just easily schedule that into your booking times. Whereas in a commercial salon, you might have more fixed timings. You've literally got an hour and you have to have that person in and out.
That's such a good point that you may need to be a lot stricter if it's not in your house. Okay. So you may have noticed Penny isn't on the podcast today. It is Mel, Leonie, and I, and we are hanging out and we're being troopers. But Penny did still have a story to share. So I'm going to read it. Except it's going to be weird if I say I when I'm not Penny. So I'm going to read this and just know this is from Penny, okay? So Penny tells us that she has had home salons for 8 out of 10 years in the industry, but she wouldn't say that she's biased towards them. She just found that they best fit with the reasons that she got into nails in the first place. I know she's always been talking about how she was originally looking for a job that she could do from home, which makes sense that, of course, she started from home. And for her, a personal downside is that when she started, she was flatting. So what she ended up having to do was rent two rooms in the house. So it wasn't just free, like many people assumed. She actually had to rent another room just to make sure she had a salon space, which is actually a really smart idea if you are flatting and you need a salon space. And I never would have thought about it. She said one of the cons is that she had no control over the noise of her flatmates. And although they were fairly respectful, it was still their home and their downtime away from work. So she couldn't just be like, shh, shh, shh. She didn't monopolize it, you know? She found it fairly easy to get a health license, but she did make sure that the garden that the clients walked through was maintained at all times. So, you know, you wanted to make sure it's professional. She was in that house for 4 years, and then she was in her second house for almost six. In that second house, she was the last house down a driveway. So she had no control over the state of the shared fence and the neighbor's overgrown garden. And also, she was renting, so it was hard for her to commit to lighting down the long driveway. But being from home meant that it's also much easier to work late, knowing she can walk a few meters to bed afterwards and then clean up properly in the morning. So it's a little bit of cons there. And then somewhere in the middle of all of that, she also had a commercial salon for a couple of years. She did love being able to leave work at work and come home to home, and it wasn't far from her house, so the commute wasn't a big deal. The only reason she really moved everything home is because by that time, the education side of the business was taking over, and she was starting to, you know, resent having clients interrupt her working day. So having work at work and nails at home actually made her happier. Oh, that's so lovely. And obviously now she's based in the Coromandel, so she's like, I'm gonna stay at home because why walk to another place when Tairua isn't really that big anyway. Okay, we have a couple stories from students.
All right. So we have a story here from one of our students, Lauren. So Lauren said, I've only been running my home salon for 4 months now. So far, I've had mainly positive experiences. I'm available for more working hours, can claim more for business expenses, and am more flexible for appointments, etc. My only negative experience would be that work is now at home, meaning it's easy for me to work in the evenings. My partner is getting frustrated that I'm working all the time. While working at home is what is right for me now, my dream is still to have my own real salon. 3 to 5 year plan. Watch this space. Penny has replied here and said, I have to agree, I've definitely had strained relationships in the past where my partner, friends, and family just didn't understand how much I had to work and definitely couldn't understand that I actually wanted to be working. I've had to learn the hard way to set strict limits for myself because even though I wanted to be working, I would still burn out, and that takes a long time to recover from.
I think that ties into what we've been saying, right? That we do need to think about our boundaries and expectations and all of that, because that's where that comes down to. Like, I know my husband would hate it if I had a home salon and it was inside the house because I tried it and he was not a fan and he felt like he couldn't be chill at home. So if we ever tried to do home-based again, I would probably copy you, Mel, and have a cabin. Because then I can still have that separation, but still be at home. But also, my husband will still have his space to just chill because he gets, you know, tired from work and stuff.
If he wants to just come home and turn the TV on, or like strip down to his underwear or whatever, he can.
Yeah. I mean, on
Some of
that note, I actually.
the
Maybe the clients like that. Ooh.
a bad thing, probably.
Just before we wrap up, we've had so many cool stories today, but I do want to take a minute to remind you about the One Stroke course. So make sure that you sign up because it's a One Stroke for Beginners course, again, with award winner Rebecca Isaac. Remember, during this module, we do cover understanding one stroke brushes, how to load your brush with two or three paints, how to get the perfect blend on your brush, the key movements you need to create a butterfly directly on the nail, the key movements you need to create flowers directly on the nail, petal by petal, and how to create leaves to complete your design. Amazing. So if you want to sign up for the One Stroke for Beginners course, we do have a couple affiliate codes to get you 10% off. Leonie,
Yep,
what was
my
your
one
code?
is Jungle Nails.
Okay, Mouse was Jungle Nails. Leonie?
And Leonie, just Leonie. It doesn't sound very exciting after you, Mel. Like purple nails is like really exciting, and I'm just Leonie.
There's nothing wrong with just Leonie because Leonie is awesome. And mine is Petsedev. Yay. Cool. And with that, we are done and dusted for another episode, episode 9. Before you disappear, like our page, follow the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Next week, we are reverse engineering our goals, which is very exciting. So we will see you there. Is there anything else I'm supposed to say at the close?
I think so.
Yeah. So perfect. Until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monaco Nail Academy or follow our salons. Mine is at Patsative Beauty.
Mine is Jungle Nails.
And I'm Nail Alchemy by Leonie.
Ooh, such cool names. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.